Okay, it's 7 o'clock. Do I hear a motion to begin the meeting?
Make a motion to begin the meeting.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall.
I second.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. First thing is the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yes, sir.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Take a moment. Sorry. Prayer. Okay. I left that on there. Okay. The next thing is the city meeting minutes. Did everybody go over the city meeting minutes?
Yes.
Did anybody find anything or need anything corrected? If not, do I hear a motion to accept the minutes?
Is there something about the radio?
Oh, well, I'll get to that in a minute. Well, it's not, but we did, but what was in the minutes was correct.
Okay.
Okay?
Make a motion to accept the minutes.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Hall.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Malcolm. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? See, financial reports. Any questions or anything on those? All right. Do I hear a motion to accept the city financial reports for January 2021?
A motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Mappin. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right. The invoice stuff's going around.
Did you include
the
they were there.
All
right.
Next thing on here is the mayor's state of the
city
and the budget message. Where did I put that? I know I have it because I brought it. If I don't. Just be patient with me. I have it here somewhere. Here it is. Okay. City financial condition. Budget message and emergency action plan. Number one, city's 2020-2021 fiscal year financial mission policy is to generate. That should be 21. City's 2021-2022 fiscal year financial mission policy is to generate sufficient revenues to timely pay city expenses, the most critical of which are security, waste collection, and property and road maintenance. Number two, because some city properties were sold and some property mortgages were refinanced, it is not necessary to increase last year's tax rate because gross revenues for the fiscal year will increase by less than 4%. Number three, previous tax revenues yet on the books, yet unpaid revenues for the current fiscal year and payment of delinquent taxes should prove sufficient to cover city expenses without the need to utilize carryover funding budget line item. Number four, Worthington Hills is in strict compliance with the Kentucky audit statute. And number five, City of Worthington Hills will develop an action emergency plan in conjunction with the Louisville Metro Government Plan 16 Midland radios have been purchased. So, that's that. I have to change this before I can sign it and give it to you, Bev.
Okay. That's a Word document. You want me to change tomorrow soon, or that's something that you haven't
been discussed? Oh, I can change it. I got a Word document.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So next up is the city attorney report.
I've got a number of things, and I'll be as abrupt as I can possibly be. One thing I would request, and I know this has been in the works, if we could get an updated commission and employee information sheet about addresses, emails, and phone.
It's on DLG.
It's on what?
It's on DLG. Forward you there. I'll send you a copy of it.
Send me a copy. To bring you up to speed on taxes, for years, at the end of each, after October 1st, of the taxes become due during a fiscal year from July 1 to June 30th of the year. So that's the tax year. So we pass the tax ordinance before the end of each fiscal, at the end of each fiscal year for the upcoming fiscal year, and for taxes that weren't paid by this October 1st, I would get from the treasurer the unpaid taxes, and then I would send out letters, and then subsequently after a period of time record tax liens. Well, that didn't happen for the last 4 or 5 years under when we had a different mayor. So recently we sent out there were 37 tax letters that went out to the individual owners who had not paid their tax for the last fiscal year. So those are out there. I've got a list. We're receiving tax information. We're trying to obtain information that people claim that have been paid. We ask them to get that information from the mortgage company or cancel a check or whatever. So in line with that, Bev and I have been working on tax liens. We're doing it by year, and you can file as many tax liens on properties. We're doing it by each fiscal year. So that's what Bev and I were talking about earlier. We're going to be sending those out. And by law, it has to be recorded in the deed room, the county clerk. And then by law, I've got to send them a copy. So then hopefully that will precipitate or encourage people to make payments, because we explain very clearly what the other damages are. And I'll get into this the specific information about how the penalties, if it's not paid, when I read into the record the first reading of this upcoming tax ordinance. So when you pass an ordinance, you have to have two readings. The first reading can be perfunctory. You can just basically say, this is the tax ordinance for this upcoming fiscal year. And then the second reading has to be more specific. Every word has to be read. So we usually do a perfunctory reading the first time and a more specific reading the second time. So we've got three of those to consider this evening. And they are in no particular order, and you all can decide in which order to do them. May as well address the budget ordinance first. We have in the past, and through Bob's diligence, Bob and Dennis go to these classes up in Frankfurt, and they really come back with some good ideas. Some of them aren't so good, but some of them are very good. But what Bob has determined, we used to have, the budget ordinance used to be a full page, and that what Bob wanted to do, and if the recommendation the commission approved it, was to start reducing the line items so it was more palatable, and then within each of those line items, we might have subcategories about that. So then that would be the first option. The second option would be to pass a really austere budget ordinance that has two line items: general fund revenue without carryover and general fund expenses. And obviously, the general fund expenses have to be less than the carryover. So those are the things that you need to consider. The beauty of doing it this way is that it's more malleable, it's more flexible, it's more user-friendly, because there's a lot of different payments that are coming out of this fund, whereas if you have a more specific line item, more numerous line items, if you go over then you have to file an amended budget ordinance at the end of the year for each of those line items that were triggered.
No, you have to amend the budget before you have the expense.
Right, you're right. So you have to do it at the time that you pay, that you are going to spend dollars.
Right.
Before you go over the line item budget, you have to amend it so that you're authorized to spend that, those extra dollars. Thanks, Bob, for clarifying that. So that's something you need to consider. And then the next one is going to be the amendment of the state statute authorizes cities to tax the premiums on insurance, all right? The life insurance and all other kinds of insurance. Now, as you know, when you get a bill, it's passed on to the consumer, okay? So the taxes come into the city, but then and that money, and the insurance companies are obligated to let us know what payments were made. So when they get payments from when they get payments from the consumer that live in this instance in the city of Worthington Hills, then that's passed on to the city.
Now, let me.
I'll get into the specific ordinances in a minute. I'm just describing.
Yeah. Now, let me clarify why we're bringing up this premium tax ordinance. 2 years ago, Louisville was going to increase the premium tax in Louisville, Jefferson County to 10%. Ours is 6%. Anything over the 6% would go to Louisville, Jefferson County. Whereas if we match theirs, then they can't get any money from our taxpayers. Whatever the amount that they go to, we need to be at that amount, because no matter what, our taxpayers are going to have to pay it, whether it goes down to Louisville or if it stays within the city. And that's the reason why I do this first read on this, is so we're ready, because this particular ordinance has to be passed prior to 100 days prior to July 1st by statute, okay? So that puts it in the first part of April. And they will wait. They have two meetings a month, by the way. So they could bring this up at their March meeting, at their first one, and they could pass it at their second one. And this is, we only have one meeting. So this is to preempt having to have
an emergency meeting.
Emergency meeting to have a first read.
Right.
Okay. We will wait until we find out if they're going to do anything. If they do something, then we will have a special meeting to just basically vote on that particular that this ordinance, but with that particular percentage in there.
And they're held to the same standard. They have 100 days before.
Yes. Okay. Everybody, all cities in Kentucky had that limitation.
Are they talking about it again? I'm just asking.
I have no idea.
Bob, I like that you front run them. That's good.
If they don't pass it, then we don't have to enact it.
Right.
I'm hoping that they don't.
It's precautionary.
Yeah. That's all.
Preventive maintenance.
Okay. All right. Anybody got any questions? You get that? Okay. All right.
So we've talked about budget, we've talked about the tax on insurance. Now let me get into the, and I'm pretty anal, I always look at my work and find different ways to reduce language, federal language and stuff, and we're going to assign the ordinance number in the order in which they're passed. And I would suggest that we probably make the tax ordinance number one, because, and then maybe the budget ordinance two, or reverse that, one and two, and then we'll make the insurance three. But we all have a copy of the proposed tax ordinance. I kept working on it, and I thought, your fault.
I followed the email.
See you in my email.
Thank you.
Everybody else should have this. If you guys want to share one back there, then it maybe.
Did you send a copy of that out?
Yeah, they were all.
Okay, I read it.
All right. So here's the way this works. And we added at Bob's request this. So anything that a city does, and it's also related to every other institution, but this has to be a statute from which the authority is derived. So the taxing authority is KRS 92-524. And then every year we have to have a tax rate. And it cannot be increased by more than 4%. It remains pretty steady. We had an aberration a few years ago that caused all kinds of problems, and that was dictated by the former mayor. But regardless, the tax rate is going to be point. Actually, that's wrong. It's got to be 0.02. I think I changed that. I'm not sure. I didn't bring the updated problem. That's got to be 0.0204. And then Bob added a 75-cent ad valorem tax for dilapidated, abandoned parcels within the city. And then the tax levy, this is boilerplate language number 4, the tax levy is necessary to generate sufficient revenue to pay budget city expenses for the 2022 fiscal year in order to properly govern the city for the benefit of its residents. And then if you pay the tax bills go out in early July. If you pay the tax in July, then you get a 2% discount. The gross base tax is due in August and September. If it's paid in September, there's 11% interest charge. In beginning in October, there's 1% for each month added on until it's paid. And then we also incorporated in here, I don't know if this is... Yeah, and also there's a provision for attorney's fees of $150. And if you record a lien, it costs $46. And if you, when the lien is released, when it's paid, there's another $46 to release that. And that's all reflected in our tax lien. But that's basically what the tax ordinance looks like. I'll change that tax rate there.
Are you sure that's... I think that tax rate's right.
Or no, I tell you what I did, Bob. I found it, and I'm going to change it again, because I'll tell you why. I did some mathematical computations today, and it's a far easier way to say that. And if you look at my tax lien, the city 2009, we're going back as far as 2009, fiscal 9 and 10, 0.022 base tax of 10% of the total assessed property value of each property loaded in the city is far easier to understand instead of this one per $100. So I'm going to change the tax ordinance to read the same way, because if you take 10% of a property, for example, the example I was using, $150,000, if you take 10% of that, it's 1,000, whatever 10% is.
$1,500.
And then if you take the tax rate times that's $330. It's far easier to work out, and it's not confusing.
Whatever.
So I'm going to change that. So anyway,
I think it's on the tax bill that way, though. It's .2047 per 100. I think that's what they put on the tax bill.
Well, but of course you're right. I think you're right, because you're right. I think that language is good. It is exactly right.
But you don't have per 100 on here.
But
it needs to be in here.
Per $100.
Yeah, it needs to be on both of them.
Yeah, it does. But anyway,
but that's the reason why we have these.
I'll leave the lien alone, I'll leave the ordinance alone. But I think within the lien, I'm going to explain a little more clearly for them. So anyway, that can be considered the first reading of the tax ordinance, and then I'll make sure everything's right, and then I'll disseminate copies to everybody, and I'll assign one to assign one to cash or one to budget. Doesn't matter. I'll go one with tax and one and two with budget. So I guess now,
it's when you pass it, isn't it? So the budget's not going to be passed till closer to June, right?
Yeah, I guess that's right.
So you have to wait.
So we'll do tax one and
tax one,
budget two, and then insurance three, maybe. But the insurance tax ordinance, when stuff is put out there, and they say, okay, your ability to do it. A lot of times, the government will prepare a model ordinance, and then you can use that and adopt it and massage it all you want. So, the insurance ordinance is is what it is. It's another tax to help pay for city expenses. All right, that's what all taxes are supposed to do. It has to be for the benefit of the city and its operation and providing for its citizens and all of that. So, and then you all have to decide on what to do with the budget ordinance. And I'll let Bob explain that. It was kind of his idea.
Well, let's do the budget ordinance, and then I want to do this. Okay. When I first started working on this, I just basically duplicate it and then change the numbers on the budget ordinance like we did last year. This is what you'll find on the website, similar to this. It has the general fund with the carryover or without carryover, and then it has the main items, the media expense, open space maintenance, operating expense, operations expense, road expense, salary expense. Now, the reason why I started thinking about it differently was because during our training, they basically mentioned it could be as simple as a revenue line and an expense line. Since we approve all our expenses anyhow and we work off a worksheet
every month,
the nice thing is with just doing a revenue and expenses, everything that's in between, then we've got more flexibility, just like with this weather situation, to where we have the ability to swap monies around within our regular working.
So if one's low and one's high, you don't have to go back and
Right,
the budget.
Right. Every time we do.
But it's all still backed up with about, those numbers are what are behind the 343-2.
Right. Yeah. This basically is, we have an estimated, or the general budget, the general revenue, you know, it's ups and down anyhow, but this is what we're projecting. Okay?
That's the big bucket.
That's the big bucket.
Yeah.
Then the expense is what we take out of it.
That's
okay.
No bucket.
This way, like I said, we have the curse of crystal. We can then we don't have to amend the budget. Okay.
I like that method.
Right, and as it is now, we're going to have to talk about amending the budget tonight because Crystal has numbers for us, hopefully. And that's why I wanted to bring this up first to see which one you want to have the initial read on. Do you want to do the one with the breakdown?
Or just the way it is today?
We have an initial read on both of them, and then you can decide.
Right.
This is what we use right now.
This year, right.
Okay? This is what I'm suggesting we go to for next year.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I don't want to have to read, you know, I just want to, I want to get it down to where this is what we're going to do.
Right. It's still all supported by the worksheet.
The worksheet. We're not trying to manipulate anything. We want to work with inside our lines on our worksheet. But this just gives us from having to spend money to post it on the friggin' damn paper.
Because that's an ordinance, this year's is an ordinance, then we have to stay within those lines, right?
Next year.
I'm talking about what we currently have.
Yeah, on this one, yes. We have.
So if we do it this way, we don't necessarily have to stay. We just have to stay inside the big bucket line.
We have to stay inside the revenue, and we can't. And if we're looking to go over the expenses,
then we have to
amend it.
Right.
See, this one says without carryover.
Yeah.
Okay. If we have to amend it, then we just put that with carryover and change that number,
okay,
and then change the expense line. But it still has to get posted in the paper.
I understand.
Okay. So
it just gives us flexibility.
Much more.
What we've spent in the past on publication expense is extraordinary. We've tried real hard to reduce that number.
And we have reduced that number thanks to the legislator giving us the opportunity to do so. All right, we're going to do the go ahead and do the perfunctory reading of the budget of the small one.
Okay, so the first reading of the 2021-2022 fiscal year budget ordinance here again by the City of Rolling Hills Act, Section 1, according to KRS 91A03010, the City of Kentucky City of Rolling Hills does hereby adopt this 21-22 budget ordinance. General fund revenue carryover $343,475. General fund expense $342,200. This ordinance shall be properly signed, published, and become effective on July 1st. That's approved on June 15th at a regular session meeting. I want to make that, what is this, February? You want to make it before June?
No. Right, the budget, June, no, no.
That's right. We have to do it. It's better to point out. The regular session meeting of the legislative body is going to deal pursuant to statutory law and then signed by Robert Beverly and then me as preparer. So that would be the first reading. We need to put that in the minutes. First reading of ordinance of the budget ordinance.
We did the first read on the tax. Now we've done the first read on the budget ordinance.
And then
now we do the read on the tax.
On the insurance. First reading of the City of Rolling Hills, Kentucky ordinance amending ordinance number 2, series 2015, increasing the life insurance premium license fee percentage from 6% to 10%. Semicolon, ordinance number 2, series 2014, increase the non-life policy premiums from 6 to 10. And then, again, this is the first reading. But to summarize, the licensee imposed by each insurance company which issues life insurance policies on the lives of persons residing within the corporate limits of the City of Rolling Hills shall be. And then the statute requires that you line out what you're changing, and then when you, and then the next section would be you underline what's replaced in that lined out section. So that's where the 10% comes in section 2. And then section 3 is redundant with section 2. And then.
Yeah, section 3 is just the non life insurance. We only get first year life insurance premiums. That's it. Premium tax.
Right.
Okay.
Which is a good thing. And then the ordinance shall become effective July 1, 2020 upon passage approval. Publication is required by law. Passing approved. I've got March 15th in here as the approval date and then the proper signature. So that would be the first reading of those three ordinances.
Okay.
I don't know if there's anything else.
Oh, we have the we have to do the resolution. The resolution's on the name change for the and here this is what this is all about. This is the name and scope change project. The Jefferson County League of Cities Cable Communications was formed by the Jefferson County League of Cities in 1994 pursuant to an interlocal cooperative agreement, 1994 ICA. That's an intercooperative agreement. Over the past 25 years, membership has grown 42%. Historically, the JCLCCC has been successful in all of its endeavors for its members, whether it was rate regulation, negotiating franchise renewals, or resolving service issues. And now we have expanded that to include all communication services in order to be even more valuable to its members. Technology over the last 25 years has significantly changed the way that suburban city residents can receive television and communication services. In addition, regulatory actions related to the communications fields are anticipated to intensify significantly going forward and will require consistent monitoring to assess the impact on suburban cities. In recent years, there has been major suburban city growth in counties adjacent to Jefferson County in Kentucky. We currently have a long-term member city outside of Jefferson County, and there are many other adjacent suburban cities where our services offering could be of value to them. Growth in our membership base enables us to extend and improve service offerings to all our member cities. All services offering are provided by our modest membership dues structure. We do not solicit or accept funding from communication service providers. What this is each month we have a cable revenue. But right now, it's just the name of it is JCLCCCC. Okay. It's Jefferson County League of Cities Cable Commission. And what they want to do is expand it so it's more than Jefferson County, and that we can get more membership into it, which gives us more. In fact, the contract that we just renegotiated with Charter was signed this past year, and that was what they do. They basically make sure that we've got everything up to snuff. That Charter contract goes for 10 years, and we get a percentage of everybody's a percentage of the amount of the cable fees.
Cable TV or cable
every month.
All of it?
Yeah. And in return, I think they get 15% of what we collect per year. So if we didn't have it, then we would have to do the negotiation with the cable companies ourselves. And that can get into long, drawn-out fees. So this is just a name change. This is just a resolution for a name change. You got the resolution, Steve?
No.
I have it. I brought it so you could read it.
If you did, then I think you must have put it with you by mistake.
No, I didn't take it with me. Okay. Here's the... I'll let Steve read the resolution.
Okay.
Because any time this interlocal cooperative agreement, anytime there's a change, even though it's still the same, we're just changing the name, we have to send this interlocal cooperative agreement to Frankfurt so that they can sign off of it. I got a signature page I've got to put on this thing. Steve read this big long contract, make sure it was okay, and he said it was. I told him not to change anything. We put the name. I just had to put names in.
Don't change anything.
Yeah. But anyhow, it's not anything particular. This is just one of the steps we have to do. We could have it as an ordinance, but then you have to read it twice. A resolution only has to be read once. So that's the reason why we're doing it that way. And that's what they recommend.
Interlocal cooperation agreements are authorized by statute. And what it means basically is that you can, the best example is we had an interlocal cooperation agreement with another city, whereas their police force worked on, did our schedule, policing. So that way we didn't have to hire ours. Now we're under contract now with a company that's owned by a city police officer, and it's worked out really well. But that's what, you know, it's kind of like reducing the expense for cities by being able to use functions like police departments and stuff. Anyway, City of Wernerville's Resolution Number 1, Series 2021. The resolution authorizes City of Wernerville to enter into an interlocal cooperation agreement with the Kentucky Suburban Cities Cable and Communications Commission pursuant to KRS 6510 as sequence. That's the enabling statute. That's what those things are called, enabling statutes. Whereas in 1994, the Jefferson League of Cities Cable Commission was formed pursuant to an interlocal cooperation agreement, and whereas over the last 25 years, technology has significantly changed the way that suburban city residents can receive television and communication services, and whereas there has been major suburban city growth in counties adjacent to Jefferson County in Kentucky, and whereas the members of the Jefferson County League of Cities Cable Commission desire to amend said agreement in order to expand the scope of the agreement to include communication services and to change the name of the organization to the Kentucky Suburban Cities Cable and Communications Commission. Now, therefore, be resolved by the City Commission of the City of Wernerville Hills that the mayor is hereby requested and authorized to sign the attached Exhibit A, hereto interlocal cooperation agreement with the Kentucky Suburban Cities Cable and Communications Commission. So resolved the 16th day of February 2021, City of Wernerville Hills, Mayor Robert Stolen, does a date for him that he signs a test, our clerk, date, rendered adopted pursuant to. And then all of the mayor's been taken up here, so there's a line for each of the commissioners. So that has to be resolved and submitted to them in order for us to be able to for that enactment of that the document, the contract that Bob has in front of him, which I reviewed and said is okay. So you all have to take a vote on that.
Yeah, give that to Bev. And
I recommend that you sign it.
We will. But we have to
Vote for it, I mean.
Yeah, we have to vote for it. And Bev, you want to go ahead and read the names off so that we can get a vocal approval?
Dennis Metcalf?
Yes.
Darrell Hall?
Yes.
Crystal Adams?
Yes.
Lisa Moulton?
Yes.
Okay. And I need to sign it, and I need to make copies of it, and I need to...
You're going to get it to them, right?
Yeah, I'm going to email it back to them because I get the signature page, and then I'll give it to you all. Okay. One more thing. Did you hear anything more on ground effects?
No. Here's what's going on with ground effects. So there's a vacant piece of property up here on the north side of the city, and then a business came in there, but they're doing this modifying vehicles manufactured by Ford, and it's created over time adverse effects for the city residents, especially those that are above or adjacent to that piece of property. And in time, because of demand, they've increased the volume, they've increased the times of manufacturing and stuff. So about 2 years or 3 years ago, Bob and I went to a meeting. Someone else from the city may have been there, but it was a dog and pony show put on by Ground Effects. And they had an attorney from MSD, they had the attorney for Ground Effects, and they had, I think, someone from Canada. But, you know, they were, what we believe then is that they expanded more so than, whenever you want to expand or build something, you have to get permission from local government. Building, as when you see a building plan, it has to be approved by MSD, it has to be approved by the law. You know, all of these agencies have to sign off on it before they can do it. Well, they went beyond the scope of, I think, of what they were enabled or authorized to do. So Bob raised it, and then we got them on board. Well, in time, nothing much happened. So then I sent a kind of biting email to the manager of the company, and then we got the government involved. Now, I have great respect and do believe that our agencies, and I can speak only for the ones in Jefferson County and the ones in the state, but when I got my license, I was working for the county attorney. He gave me a job, and I had a private practice, and I could part-time prosecute. And I worked with all of these agencies, and they take this their job seriously. You know, the best example is if you have gutters hanging or something wrong with a piece of property, they go in, they can cite you, and if you don't do it, they bring you into court for compliance. So this was on a much larger scale than that, but they, I don't think, initially took us seriously. Well, Bob and I have taken it very seriously. I continue to send them emails. I want updates. Sometimes I'll have a meeting, they don't inform me, and then they'll bring me up to speed. So I think in time, one of the things that they proposed was to, for example, some of the violations, they weren't supposed to have music on the radios. These guys would be sitting and waiting in line to drive into the plant to have some modification done. They got lights facing at the city. They got music blaring. And then there was, so that's a violation of the
planning agreement.
Well, yeah. And then I think they blacktopped some property that maybe they weren't supposed to blacktop. So the remedy now is this proposed landscaping. A lot of the landscaping that they put in there, trees and stuff, died in time. So now there's a big plan to go in there and plant a bunch more trees and stuff, make them high enough where the light doesn't shine and somewhat deflect the music and stuff. And one of the things I proposed, and they didn't do, was to put light lanyards that face back onto the property that are not 360 lighting. So I haven't heard from them, and I have regularly for the last 6 months contacted them to say, give me an update, and just had a sister who died last week, and I was just not on my game, so I forgot to contact them. So
that's all right.
Regardless, I will do that and follow up on ground effects. So I talked to Dan the other day, and he said that, I forgot what he said, it was at the funeral, but I think it's getting better, and in time it's going to get to a point where we're going to have to live with it. But one of the things that we suggested is that at the northeast end, they had far more
new plannings planned other than on the other side. So I just said, why don't you duplicate that? Why don't you make it symmetrical? And that seemed like, huh? You know, if that's going to help down here, why wouldn't you put it down here to make the same effect if you do that? So that's, I'm going to run that by them again. But
and they're supposed to realign the pavement, where rather than running the parking lines are running north and south. In other words, when they come in, they come in and they drive around and they get in the first five or six pointed towards the building, and then when they get done getting ground effect, they come out and they park facing towards the back of the Bay Run houses, and that's where they're getting the light and everything else. So supposedly, according to the emails I've read, they're supposed to change those lanes so they're running east-west, so that at least the light won't be, the headlights won't be facing towards the houses at any time. They'll come in and they'll take a left, go into the blinds, and then when they come out, I guess they come around and they'll do the same thing. They come around and go up on the top part. I don't know how they plan on doing it, other than the line, the waiting line is going to be facing east-west rather than north-south.
Another crazy thing is that when these trucks are finished, they race to the Ford plant because they have to drive back to the Ford plant for something, maybe shipping or something. So we've had instances where we complain to the cops, and Tate's guys would be out there, and they come down and they make that turn and they race to the, and then they turn on the lights and they don't stop, and then they race right into the Ford plant, and the cops can't go onto that plant. I mean, it's something out of a movie, you know. So anyway, we're working on it. I'll jump all over that again.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Okay, old business. Commissioners, got any old business they want to discuss? All right. I've got a couple things. Our emergency radios. As you'll notice, each one of the local residents you have, one of our radios issued or had been put on your desk or in front of you. Before you leave, you need to find your little number here and put the date that it was issued, and then your name and your signature, and then we're gonna do a test.
Where the battery goes.
Yeah, there's a number in there. Yeah, on the back, when you open it up, on the back of the radio, there's a serial number, but also in there, what's this called? A something number, a unit number, and just find it, put it in here so that we know. We're going to do a test probably here at the end of the month, the last Saturday of February here. Right there's the radio. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, and there's a number.
That's the number on that white tag.
Yeah. Yeah, if there's an easier way to find it, it goes from 01 to 16. That's a little tag that's under, it's in the box.
Oh.
Is that supposed to be the same number?
I'm 16 though, okay.
Yeah, she's got 16, so she would be on that line. There's another, that there, the long one is the call sign, and that was one of the things I wanted to cover. Last time at the meeting, I said it was WOK1278 or 1278. It's not. It's OKI278. Okay? It was hard to read on the licensing form. When I got when we got the licensing back, it looked like a 1.
Does it strike you out that it's woke?
Yeah, I know. I know. I just said it's work without the R. But that was what I wanted to bring up. It's WOKI 278. So, again,
this number again?
Huh?
This number.
That is your unit number on this sheet.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay? It's also going to be your unit number when you're using them.
Okay.
Okay? So, do that before you leave. If you want to play with them, fine.
I had one thing I wanted to say.
You say check here.
on old business, Bev, you had written down, I think, in the minutes last month about the next door and how we're only allowed to comment on city business, or not comment on city business, that we are allowed to comment on anything else on next door or put stuff up for sale or whatever as a city official. I just want to reflect that for the recording and the record, because there are certain people on next door right now that think that Mayor Stoneham has completely told all of us that we are not allowed to put anything on next door at all. So I just wanted to reflect that for the record, that we are allowed to comment and say things about other posts on next door, but we are not allowed to comment on city business on next door.
Right.
Okay. So anyone who has posted anything on next door that I have not addressed, please feel free to email me at roadcommission@cityofworthingtonhills.gov or cityofworthingtonhillsky.gov.
Okay. All right. There's something I wanted to run past. He wasn't here last month meeting. And on our website, we've got a neighborhood watch on there now where I encourage anybody who's got snapshots or video, preferably snapshots, that we can post on the on our neighborhood watch. But I also would like to put on a buyer beware tab. And I wanted to run this past Steve because we had a nice flyer come from Certified Tree Care, and when I did checking on it, they are not current with the state. They're a foreign company with a, and foreign I mean they're not, they're incorporated in Texas, and their local affiliate is not current in there. I just don't know if we should or not. We have, you know, a number of things that we have problems with. Because I got calls on this, whether, you know, these people were legit or whatever. So I wanted to know if we can put a buyer beware and let them know on certain things that we get ads for, these flyers.
Sure.
That we can put on there. This is what we know.
Yeah, I don't think you need to put that on the webpage.
Yeah, it'd be a separate tab. Yeah, it's a separate tab.
And the web.
You can't accuse them of being dishonest or anything like that, but just, you know, if you see these, be careful and
do
due diligence.
And, right. All right.
If you have any questions, call Dennis McDowell.
Yeah. Are we done over there? Okay. Next door. Again.
They've been busy on Next Door.
Well, Next Door, he's sending out these welcome letters or these intro letters. And I have a problem with it because it kind of insinuates that a neighbor is inviting them to join Next Door.
And what's Next Door?
It's a gossip column, or it's a gossip media.
It's a neighborhood app. All the neighborhoods.
Yeah, and all they do is get on there and harp. They don't say anything. They do lost dogs or lost cats and stuff like that. But, you know, right now it's everything that's wrong. So I wanted, you know, again, Commissioner Adams brought up, we shouldn't be doing any city official type of
business
on it, because if we do, we run into the problem with the open records, because that becomes a thing that has to be retained.
Why would anybody in the city respond to anything that's on there?
Well, you really want to sometimes.
They may get on my case for not addressing that because they're complaining about the snow or the ice or the roads or whatever, and I'm not addressing that. But they put my email on there too, yeah. So, you know, there's that. Somebody else posted my email.
Well, you're the person responsible. You should have a shovel and stuff. Right?
But I am not addressing anybody who has commented on Nextdoor. But they did put a comment on Nextdoor that said Mayor Stoneham has, you know, made everybody not able, that the city commissioner not able to comment on anything. And then people started going on about, that's unfair, and that's horrible, and yeah. All this stuff. And it's not the case. It's only city business due to open records.
Right. And that's one of the things that I wanted to make sure that you can comment on anything you want, but when it comes to city business, just you're opening up a can of worms. You found out about this in our academy training, and I just, again, I caution everybody, it's we've never addressed it. We don't have a Facebook page. Got rid of that.
That's a good one.
So, unless somebody wants to make it a social media, this particular website, a means of communications, and I'll listen to your arguments, but I will, again, I'll be promoting not to, but just want to bring it up. So that we can, you know, so that it isn't Mayor Stoneham saying that I'm not letting you all do it. I want to make sure that the commission is able to have a say on it. But again, I'm discouraging it because of the open records issue. Okay? Because you're going to have to keep it. If somebody gets hostile and wants to really make Bev's life a nightmare by requesting open records on anything that was on Nextdoor or any other social media, then she's going to have to get with the person that they're asking about to get the copies of the post. So that's how it has to work. It has to be done. Well, they upped the days now, I think, to 7, didn't they? Is it 7 days during the COVID? It's normally 3, but I think COVID, it's either 7 or 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
So,
are we on old business still or new business?
Yeah, we're still on old business. Okay. But if I don't hear anybody griping, then we'll just continue on. That we know that social media is not acceptable. If they want to deal with this, they deal with this through email. Okay.
Okay.
Is everybody okay with that?
I'm okay with that.
All right. Now we're on new business.
Okay.
So. I know we have a commissioner that has new business. Go ahead, Commissioner Adams.
Actually, I had a couple different things that you just made me think of it with the Nextdoor and the social media. I wanted to see what your thoughts were on doing some sort of, like JCPS does, the thing that comes to your phone, you know, that like a weather alert, you know, or something that says, hey, this is what we're doing. You know, that kind of stuff regarding the weather or the plowing or the salt.
Would Captiva do that? Is it capable of doing something like that?
No. We used to have this
Reach Alert. Reach Alert, yeah.
The problem is we never got enough participation in it.
Okay.
We were spending $1,000 and we had like 150 people on it.
Okay.
A question too, and I think it's a good idea. I, of course, don't get a vote, but I mean, if it snows and you have trucks, I mean, they can visually see what's going on.
The ice storm, we were doing a lot of it at night, so they didn't see it, so they didn't think I was doing anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have Reach Alert.
That makes sense.
We have Reach Alert, but again,
we did call it a couple times at night to catch rush hour.
I wonder if
traffic.
You put it on the webpage.
Well, he put that on the web page, you know, the plan for the ice storm after the fact, and then they got on Nextdoor and got all crazy about that. So,
first off, they see everything on TV, weather alert, okay? And if they can't get it through their head that we're going to have snow plows sometime, I mean, how much more can we really do? I mean, there's not a whole lot we can do. And honestly, we could go with the Reach Alert, but again, people have to sign up for it.
Right.
Yeah.
And if they don't sign up for it, we're spending money and we don't use it but except in the wintertime.
Right, right.
So
fine today. If snow's last night, roads are fine today. I'll be able to figure it out that something happened.
Yeah. And again, we Crystal did a fine job on this one. She did it all by herself without, you know, the first one was a nightmare. The first one was a nightmare because we had rain, then we had sleet, then we had rain, snow. I mean, it was just constant, and it never froze till after midnight. And as it was, there was... Well, according to everybody else, Coldstream got their streets, but I'm not comparing us to Coldstream, okay? We basically did what we could do with what we had to do it with.
We drive through Oakhurst.
Yeah, drive through Oakhurst. They're just as bad. But of course,
well, it works. They let me never plow or do anything.
Yeah. So, again, we plowed... Or,
that's because they're not a city.
Well, they have an HOA, and they pay for that service, but they don't get it.
Yeah, that's what I'm ready to do.
I don't know what the dues are, but, you know...
They don't pay hardly anything. But the thing that this time she did a fine job. She had plowing and salt before. We plowed the leftover ice from the Thursday or the Wednesday night freeze on Friday, and she salted it right after that. So we had that down for the snow, and then when it started yesterday, they were plowing and salting at the same time again. So we've got plenty of magic salt down. It's just a matter of, it's so cold. It didn't get above 20 today.
Or all week.
Yeah. So it's hard for that stuff to work. And if you continue to throw the salt on top of it, it just is going to work down and damage the asphalt when it's all said and done. So it'll get through. I mean, we'll be fine. I think we're going to have sun tomorrow. We had a nice sunset, so we might have a clear day tomorrow. So, but yeah, I understand what you're saying, but we're already getting it on the news media.
Well, it was just a suggestion.
Well, I mean, if somebody wants, I'll let somebody bring it up. If y'all want to do reach alert, I can get a hold of the guy that does it.
I just have a suggestion. Why can't we have something on the website that, like a weather alert? That
yeah.
You can click on. If they don't check the website, that's their problem.
Okay, I can do that. I can do that.
Maybe Louisville doesn't coddle everybody. Right. That we can't. I mean, that's just how I see it.
Yeah. No, I can do that. That's not a problem.
They don't coddle us when they're out there driving, running stop signs, red lights.
So
yeah.
Well, here's the other thing. Our streets were clean by Friday. And there were still streets in Louisville that weren't even done yet. So,
yeah. I mean, and a lot of the ice storm, COVID did play into those decisions a little bit because I thought, well, schools are closed.
Yeah.
The majority of people are working from home.
Yeah.
There's probably not a whole lot of people that are going to even attempt to go out because they know the roads are horrible and everything.
Unless
so.
They forgot their milk and butter and bread.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, that little button might help.
Yeah.
Alert. It could say anything.
Yeah. What I'll do is, when you you send me an email telling me that you're going to have the roads treated, okay, then I can put it on the website because I can set up it'll be right on the front. I can set it up so that I can change the dates so that it will automatically go up. It can be just simple that the roads are going to be treated. Please take your cars and, you know, make
our
sure.
Our garbage may be a day late.
Well, we never know about that.
Yeah,
that's true.
I mean,
unless you tell me.
Well, I didn't know. I mean, I just know from living here 25 years, that's how they wrote.
Yeah.
I mean, I found out
from next door.
From what?
I found out from next door. The garbage may be late.
Well, good. Good. Then you can let me know from next door. Okay.
And it was common sense, right?
Yeah.
Happens to five eight cents to buy. Those trucks aren't getting anywhere fast.
Yeah.
There's a metaphor for life. It's a physics lesson. It's cause and effect. I mean, that's a metaphor for life, you know. If you pinch someone, it hurts, all right? If it snows, then you get the roads clear. Sometimes people can't get to and from. I mean, That's life. You know?
Right.
Yeah. Life is fluid. You know, it's not static. So.
It's not.
Okay. Anything else?
I got one thing.
Okay.
We want to come up with like a duffel bag or something you can keep in your car with the, like a safety vest and certain things you might need for emergencies or things you need to do your job, like mark light poles. And you could all be in one spot.
Sure. I'm on my dad's in my car, even though it's 20 years old.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
Or like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. We had those funds.
You know, like,
we had those funds for the that we get from the court cases that we have to use for public safety.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's what he's talking about.
Something like this where you can put in your window.
Oh, okay.
And it lets people know that you're commissioned. You're doing your job instead of somebody saying, what the hell
are
you doing?
Right.
I tell you, another thing that everybody has, and I borrow it from my secretaries and I borrow it from my family, is those that gadget that it'll break glass, the car glass.
Mm-hmm.
Like if the door jam is on fire or something, and then they have a razor, they have a thing that will just slice that seatbelt off. Everybody should have one of those things. Mm-hmm. You think statistically it's not going to happen, but it happens all the time where people can't escape a car that's going in the water or on fire.
Right.
So they're pretty cheap, $7 or something to get them online. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought, you know.
No, you're number six.
There was some kind of.
That's number six.
Really cool LED light.
Yeah. I knew that was going to be a problem.
Right.
You didn't check. You didn't check your. You didn't check your serial number.
Look at the number. You can fold up.
She paid that,
and it's a really.
And then she signed a check for all of us. So I'm getting that back with reimbursement.
Okay.
Then she sent one in for $100.
Yeah,
how about that?
Does anybody here live in
a
sorry place?
Here.
Are you talking specifically about
our group?
The group?
The group.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
all right.
That's like, yeah.
Susan?
Do you live in the Pacelli place?
I do.
Do you know when that came?
When it was developed and I moved in, I was the fifth house.
She lives at 4019. We have to get a truck to her.
Do
you want to drop by or I can do it? It doesn't matter to me.
Oh, I thought you asked how long I lived there. Let me, Juanetta?
Her address is 4019 Vaselli. She paid this. It was the day
tax. I know. She used to watch my son, yes.
And then she sent us a check for $400 change to pay the expenses.
Okay.
Do you mind dropping that?
I sure will.
All right.
I sure will.
Okay. Tell her we have $400.
I know I have it.
All right, thanks.
So, this is null and void.
No, that's the reimbursement for the first. She paid the
reimbursement.
She sent us another one for $400 and change. So,
okay.
That's the reimbursement for the first check that she paid us.
I sure will.
Okay.
Be tickled. I know.
Yes. All right, we've got the virtual core program webinar that is March 17th. It's at 6 p.m. It's a Zoom or something. It's a webinar. You all should have gotten an invite for it. And
I'm sorry.
And it would be nice if you would sign up for this because. This will, once you have been through one of these, you will recognize stuff in the neighborhood that you didn't recognize before. This is disaster preparedness to the simplistic. We have gas and fuel lines that runs all through our area. And this is prepared, this is a program that helps us with being prepared if one of these accidents happen and what needs to be done. Okay, they have. We used to have them in person, and you get a goodie bag. Okay, I don't know how they're going to do it this year, other than with this virtual. I don't know if we'll get something to mail or what. But it's a really good program, and the rest of the commission, we all have been going through it the past couple of years or whatever. And I know the previous commission did because Dennis got invited to one, and I didn't. They didn't want me alone.
No, they know them quite well. In the cities.
Yeah. So, I encourage you, if you haven't signed up for it, you need to sign up for it, okay, with your invite. Because the one that Bev sends Well, you can't sign up using hers. You have to sign up with your own, okay? Did you get yours there, Commissioner Hall?
You're talking about the pipeline stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You still got to talk about my budget, too.
Well, I'll get there.
All right.
Okay. Oh, this is for Steve. Insurance premium tax issues. Last week, when Bev and I went to the mail, we get these reconciliations and these insurance premium tax payments, mm-hmm. and we get a settlement statement with it. Well, this one had overpayment $11,000, nothing owed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious if there's anything we can do to have these validated.
Audited,
yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean, that's ridiculous. They just make a statement with no proof.
Well, no, there's a standardized form, and what it does, it goes through all the insurance types, and then it puts our rate next to it, and then it says what's due or how much they collected or whatever. And then this one, it had some where it had collected, but they basically said that there was nothing due because they had sometimes overpaid us, and I think it was $11,000.
Well, you'd have to go back one to find out. Do you have that? Jeff, can you get that to me?
Mm-hmm.
All right, and I'll comment.
I don't remember which one it was, but I know it was not this last. It wasn't yesterday. It was previous Tuesday, I believe.
Okay.
Either that or the one. I know it was with you because I was like, this just doesn't make any sense. All right. Oh, one more thing, and then because I got to get this done. We have a surety bond, $1 million surety bond, and because we're doing the budget, and I knew the surety bond was coming due February 1st of next year, so I had to, and it renews for 3 years, a 3-year renewal. I thought, I need to get an idea of what it's going to cost, because I don't want to do the budget and not have an idea of what we're going to be spending on this surety bond. So I went to KLCIS, which is Kentucky League of Cities Insurance Services, and I sent you a copy of this email. They can't give us a renewal rate for 2-1, but what they can do is give us an extension rate from 2-1 to 7-1, and then we'll be on the same cycle as our other coverage with KLCIS. Okay? That rate for those 4 months, 5 months, is that cost would be $468.28. It's $460 for the coverage itself, and then the $8.28 is the Kentucky surcharge. Yes, we get taxed by Kentucky. Anyhow, so my recommendation is we go ahead and get on cycle with the rest of our coverages with Kentucky League of Cities Insurance Services. It'll make our budgeting easier. We'll know up front what that cost is going to be. It's on the beginning of the fiscal year, so we get that out of the way. So, is there any questions on what I'm asking for? Do I hear a motion?
Make a motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Muffin.
Are you related to Judy Muffin?
All those in favor say aye.
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 All those in favor, aye. Okay. All those opposed? All right. It's unanimous. All right. I will get that taken care of so we can get that extended. All right. Go ahead now, Commissioner Adams.
I need more money, everybody. we've had several weather events, unseasonal weather in Kentucky. We've had a lot of snow and we've had a lot of ice, and I am almost exceeding the $40,000 allotted budget that I have been given. I'm currently at, I hope this is correct, I think I did this right. I am at $36,700 And that was the one plow that Miner and Company did, that they did a bad job.
Yeah.
And we didn't charge, or they said they wouldn't charge. So I marked that one out as zero. So I think I'm at $36,700. As long as they don't charge us for that one plow.
Okay. But if they do, then we're at 37 something.
Yeah, we're at 38 if they charge us, okay. And we have to fight them on that and yeah. all that. With weather coming in Thursday, you already said this, you know, before the meeting started, we needed to probably plow tonight. So with weather coming in this Thursday, I am going to be out of money. So I'm going to need to amend the budget to get myself some more money so I can pay Miner and Company.
Yeah. And along with that, on the financial report when I was looking at it, I realized that somehow our audit, the 2019, ended up on our 2020 budget, or 2021 budget, because it's got on our operating expense, we're at 19,462 when I went back and checked. The audit, the 2020 audit, actually has that money's in the audit, but it's on our worksheet for this year. You know what I'm saying? In the operating expense, mm-hmm. we billed them in August, they paid in September. Oh. And but it got into this worksheet rather than not being in this worksheet. So I'll let you work on that. It was in September expense line. Okay. So what?
So we paid something in September that should have been last year.
Well, we remember I told the auditors we had to have the audit done by the end of August so that it would be on the 2020 audit. Well, you paid them, but they didn't cash it till September, and then it ended up on our worksheet. Okay, does that make sense? Okay.
Is there any day off there?
Huh?
You want to take it off there?
Yeah. So we're not out of budget.
How much is that?
$7,000. Yeah, you can check the audit for 2020, and it's listed in it. So with that said, we need to have a first read on the amended budget ordinance.
Can I interrupt for a second, Bob?
Go ahead.
And I don't know if this matters or not, but Commissioner Campbell only used $4,100 last year for salt, you know, one time. So there was an excess the previous year. So hopefully yeah. I can use some of that money.
It's in reserve.
Pay for this.
Yeah, that's all reserve. We need to take...
I wonder if this is an emergency crisis, though. You can
No. Because we just have to have it done. It's not an emergency crisis. We can. He hasn't billed us yet. We know he's going to be billed. Okay? All right? That's why we need to do the first read, and then once we get... Then we can do the second read next time.
So what will this be the first reading of the amended budget?
We have to do it prior to the bill. Huh?
Want to do that tonight?
Yeah, we need to have a first read tonight.
Okay. So this is the first reading of the amended budget ordinance, and we don't know what number yet, do we?
Well, we can fund
the snow and ice.
Yeah, we're going to use the carryover. We're going to take and put money into the carryover.
How much, though?
I had that.
I don't know. I mean, we have to tell the weather.
The amended budget orders to cover the...
Right, we'll just do carryover. We can just put amount in there, whether we use it all or not. It really doesn't matter. We can play cover it all. So we could put $40,000 in there from last year for the carryover.
And then if you don't use it, you just move it back out.
Well, it doesn't get used. It just stays in the reserve.
Make the number 40?
Yeah, make it 40. Yeah, 40 carryover, and that should be enough to cover us for the rest of the, you know, for the rest of this time. Hopefully.
You get that, Beth?
She is cursed, Bob.
Okay, so we'll have an ordinance. We'll have an amended budget ordinance at the next city meeting, where it'll be more legit. Or we had our first. What do you call that?
Fiduciary.
Okay, yeah. Reading. Okay, for that.
Fiduciary.
Whatever. All right. Is that going to be enough?
I really hope so.
50 degrees next week.
Huh?
Yeah. 50 degrees next week.
Well, yeah. Hopefully.
According to my snow removal guy, he thinks that this should be it, you know, because the weather's starting to warm up. So I really hope so.
And temperature's going up this week.
One day.
Yeah, we've had snow on Thursday, so I don't know. Yeah.
You got more snow coming.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got the amended budget ordinance done. All right, proposed for mine. Oh, everybody gets this is a preliminary. This is the 2021-2022 budget. I sent it with all the rest of the papers. This is just preliminary. There's two pages to it. There's a tab on the bottom. This one is the general fund. This one's the road fund. That's tab 2 at the bottom. Okay? We have to keep those two items separate. That's a restricted fund, the road funds.
Road fund has to be for anything inside the curves.
Right. All right. And there, and wherever there's a highlight, there was a change. But I needed to get this out to you all tonight so you can start looking at it. I'm not like the other administration. They hid you until they were ready to try and pass the thing. So I wanted to get that out. Look it over. If you have any questions, you can make your own budget as far as I'm concerned. Okay. Dennis brought up the emergency equipment. I wanted to add one more thing. Now that we've got these nice radios, there is one thing that we probably need to also consider. The Faraday bag for them, for EMP. I just wanted to bring it up. If we got it, it ain't going to do us any good if it gets zapped. Okay? It's an electronic equipment. So
what am I supposed to do with the radio? Is it supposed to stay at my house when I'm at work?
Yeah, you can't do anything at work anyhow. Yeah.
Okay.
Just clarify. If we need you, we'll come get you.
Yeah. Okay. You have my phone number.
Yeah, I have your phone number.
Are we supposed to charge it?
It's already charged. Oh, that's another thing. They're already charged. So you can take it out, put it together, and just have it out or whatever, or you can leave it in the box.
You can sit us and call each other to see how it works.
Yeah, well, we're going to. We're going to do it fast. We got plans.
You guys can go down to like a really nice hotel, spend the night, and do your training down there.
Yeah.
Don't let it sit on the charger.
No.
Once it's charged, we'll take them off the charger.
Yeah.
Instead of leaving them in there. I don't know if these chargers.
Like a cell phone.
Yeah, I don't know if these chargers will stop charging once they're complete or whether they'll keep them charged.
When I read the instructions, it said take them off after, don't let them sit in it.
Okay.
They are kind of tricky to get into the chargers, though, okay? You have to actually.
There's a groove on the back.
Right, you have to
slide it, you know, in the slots and then.
If it's crooked, it ain't charging.
Okay.
Okay? You can look through it and see it.
There's not an indicator light.
There's an indicator light, but if it's got any kind of charge, it'll be green. Okay? Right. And then if it's not charging, when it is charging, it'll turn to red.
Okay.
Okay? And when it's green, it's not charging. But it will, it can get cocked in there, and you think it's charging because it says it's green. You know, when it's done, it's green, it's already charged, and it's not. It's sitting there cocked. It's not actually touching the battery. If you have any questions at all, Dennis or myself can help you. Okay? All right. I think that's all I have.
I have a question.
Okay.
Now that we have new commissioners, I know one of the old commissioners used to send out little notes like to the people that have left their mattresses in the front yard They weren't picked up by garbage this past week. They're still laying there, covered with ice and snow. What should those residents be doing? And is anyone sending them a note just to make them aware?
You want to address that, Susan? Because
yes,
we talked about this.
There is a work order for those. I've talked to Rumpke. They have. They haven't sent. Apparently, there's a garbage truck and there's a junk pickup truck. The junk pickup truck is also helping with garbage. So the junk truck, that's hard to say, is behind because it helped last week. So there is a work order in for it. They couldn't give me an explanation as to, or they couldn't give me a day that they're coming out. They're hoping to come out this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I've emailed the homeowner because he emailed me, and I haven't gotten a reply back for him from him. I've emailed him twice. So I did email him again this morning and let him know there is a work order.
Great. And then what about the junk in the front yard? About, I assume, an empty house down at 41 something Northumberland.
That's a C's house.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to say that.
I was.
There's a work order for that as well.
Okay. Don't be picking that up too.
Well, they have left voicemails. Apparently, something needs to be bagged.
So I've
talked to Rumpke, you know, for a few minutes over this one. And, you know, I asked him, I said, can you tell me why you're not picking it up? And they said that it's not because it's not close enough to the road. There's something that needs to be bagged.
You can take that mattress and put it on the street and just kind of pull it like a sled or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen people use car hoods.
Yeah.
So have you been able to reach that owner of that property?
No, I haven't. No, I don't have a phone number. I don't have... All I have is the address. I wasn't aware of who used to live there. Is the home abandoned?
We don't know.
Yeah, I sure don't know.
Okay.
Because the trash cans come out occasionally. I honestly can't tell you. Because the trash cans were out the same week that junk got put there.
Mm-hmm.
But then the junk was still there and the trash cans were moved back. So somebody's doing something there.
Maybe
they're not going into the garage because there's no sieve tracks going into the garage.
Okay.
And there's
not
junk
far,
and there's kids' toys and stuff sitting in front of the garage door. So it's kind of hard to go in and out of that garage with all that stuff standing there. My suspicion is it's the neighbor is kind of watching out for it. But I don't know. Somebody had to go in that house, and if that junk even came out of the house, we don't know if it came out of that house.
Right.
It could be a neighbor's stuff.
Yeah.
But as far as lights being on or anything like that, it doesn't look like it.
No, same. There is one light that's on, but it's on every night. So.
Now you say that, I haven't seen the vehicle.
No, I haven't. No.
I'll look up on the way home.
Was it the wife that still lives there?
She's supposed to be. Because I even sent her a request for a vacant home registration, a vacant house registration. Never got a reply, never got anything. I have her email address.
Well, on next door, Faith C replied to the roads being bad. So I would say Faith C. I'm not sure who that is.
Yeah,
that's
the daughter.
Is that the daughter? I think she's still living there because she replied on next door to complain about the roads.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's complaining about
the
road. I don't know where she's.
Well, she was complaining about the mayor too.
Well, yeah. Well, she may have been complaining about the mayor not even living there, just because she was reading all the other stuff.
Yeah, but if you don't live there, you don't necessarily see those posts. So you have to live in the area.
No, you can't. You can expand it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
how far
could there be a chance that they're foreclosing on the home, or maybe going to short sell it?
We got no.
Did
no.
they own it?
We don't know.
No. Did they travel? Were they snowbirds? I mean,
move on.
No, they've been gone for a long time. All right. We need to move along.
Right, I know that, yeah.
All right, the road commission reports next. Who wants to be first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
There's nothing to report.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall.
Can you still send me that email?
I'll send you the email. Literally, no emails, no phone calls, no nothing. That's very quiet.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. Who wants to be next?
I can go second.
Commissioner Malcolm, then go ahead.
Okay, January 28th, which I guess would maybe be old business. I replied to Mayor Bob's email in regards to the street light on Bay Garden. January 30th, I placed tape on the street lamp and reported it to LG&E. February 7th, I rode through the city to check street lights and the street lamp was on Bay Garden. February 13th, a Dawn Eichenberger emailed asking if her trash is going to be picked up today, and she didn't give her address. And I replied that Rumpke was behind, and sure enough, they picked up the trash that day. I checked the website, and they had said that they were on an inclement weather schedule and running one to two days behind. And then I emailed Ms. Eichenberg back and told her that they were running a day behind, and then I apologized for any inconveniences. February 14th, a William Taylor emailed stating that he contacted Rumpke and told them he has mattresses, and they told him to put them out on the trash, and they did not take them. And I emailed him back that evening asking for his address and offered to contact Rumpke myself, and there was no reply. I still hadn't been. February 14th, I drove through the neighborhood. All the street lamps were on. I didn't see the address with the mattresses. I wasn't necessarily looking, and I didn't have an address. So I'm not quite sure what house that was. And then February 15th, I spoke to Bob, and he gave me Mr. Taylor's address, and Bob stated he was unhappy with Rumpke, and I contacted Rumpke right after our conversation, and Bob had also given me the C's address and told me about the junk on the easement. So I contacted Rumpke by phone. A work order had been put in for both, and then Rumpke had told me they left two voicemails for the C's to bag up the trash before it will be picked up. And again, I've emailed Mr. Taylor again February 16th this morning and told him there's a work order, and still no reply from him either. But I think you spoke with him. Bob?
Who?
Mr. Taylor?
I know Billy.
His address. Okay.
I know his address, yeah.
And that's my report.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Malcolm. Who would like to be next?
I want to be last.
All right.
I have the most to say, so I want to go last.
I've drove the city on multiple occasions.
Good night.
Thank you. Drove city on multiple occasions. Went to storage shed with Mayor Stoneham on one occasion. Mayor Stoneham and I went to the post office multiple times. Mayor Stoneham and I unboxed two ARLs and charged them. Mayor Stoneham and I programmed privacy codes into the particular radios. And the mayor and I went to Attorney Steve Swagger's office on one occasion, and the mayor and I delivered the KLC city officials' legal handbooks. And that's it.
Okay, you want to sign this and date it? No, I've got an email from him. Hey, Dad, you dated my life.
Hey, can I just toss something in here real quick? It's not really related to anything specific, but
no, let Crystal go through hers.
Well, come on. Don't let me forget, because it's about trees.
Okay. Trees. All right.
All right. I'll remind you.
Commissioner Adams, go ahead. Well, thank you, Commissioner Metcalf, for your report.
It's been a very interesting month, guys. I'd like to reflect that nobody came to complain about the roads in the audience. There's nobody here. I'd like to reflect that for the record. My commissioner report covers January 20th through February 16th, so anything that happens after tonight will be on the next one. I've been busy, guys. There was some citizen inquiries and questions related to the ice storm on February 10th and 11th, so I responded to those. I didn't list them out like Susan did, but there was four or five emails that came in complaining about the ice and the roads, so I addressed those. There was some phone calls, got some voicemails, so I addressed those, called some people back, left some messages. No one actually, I left two voicemail messages, and they didn't answer or call back. One person actually answered, and then I explained to him some stuff, and then he was okay, and he, you know, didn't need anything else at that point, because at that point they had come back and plowed, and so he was happy at that point. But before he went to work, he was, you know, annoyed. But then after he came back, he was good. I reached out to the Coldstream, like, contact us thing on their website, because I wanted to get in touch with their mayor in regards to their treatment plan for the ice storm so I can learn how they handled it, what they did differently, and stuff like that. And I also wanted to get in touch with them so they can let their snow vendor know that our snow contract is up for bid this year in case they want to involve their snow contractor. I have not heard back from them. That was, I think, Monday morning when I contacted them. So it's not been, you know, quite 48 hours yet. So I have not heard back from them. There was one citizen inquiry about the snowstorm on February 15th. I responded via email. He wrote back. That was this morning, I think. Mayor Stoneman responded via email and explained the area over by Caselli and Caswell was what was City of Worthington Hills' responsibility and what was not. He sent him a map and everything and tried to explain that a little more in detail. I did receive one email just before coming to the city meeting complaining about the roads. I don't know where they live at. I'm going to respond back to them and find out
Halifax
where they live, because I don't know. Oh, you okay. Yeah, they CC'd Mayor Stoneman on it, so he already knows where they live.
They live in the middle of Halifax.
Was that part of what Miner and Company missed this morning on the plowing? Okay. So I know how to respond to that. I went to the post office with Mayor Stoneman on January 30th and February 13th, and then we had tons and tons of weather events. So, we had a weather event on January 23rd. I called Billy at Miner & Company and told him we didn't need to put any plowing or any salt. The brine from earlier in the month, which I believe was January 15th, unless I missed that in an email somewhere, but we had put down some brine prior to the other city meeting, and it was still down in order to melt off the snow. So we only got a small dusting of snow that night. It didn't cover the roads. It just dusted the grass. We had another weather event on January 27th. I called for a brine treatment, and we had accumulation on the roads, so I ordered for some plowing and some salt to be put down. We got like 2 inches that night. That was when they did the really bad plowing jobs.
Yeah.
On the morning of January 28th, Mayor Stoneman informed me that the plowing had taken place, but was an extremely poor job. He said several streets were missed and not plowed at all, and they did a terrible job at Northumberland and Halifax. Mayor Stoneman had Billy from Miner & Company come out personally to assess the situation, and Billy said he would not charge us for the plowing on that plow, only the salt. The sun came out and warmed the area, and the streets were clear but wet by noon. Then we had another weather event on Sunday, January 31st. There was still quite a bit of salt down from the January 27th, 28th event, so I opted not to have any additional salt or plowing done for this event. The salt that was already down worked well to keep the roads clear from snow accumulation. We had another weather event on Saturday, February 6th. I opted not to put any brine or salt down. The snow didn't stick to the road, so there was no need for any plowing. Then the ice storm came, which most of this Mayor Stoneham covered on the website. So we called Billy and had him put some salt down the afternoon of February 10th. As a pre-treatment, Mayor Stoneham and I drove the city streets together to check that the salt was applied and working. And then, since I'm newly elected and have never dealt with the ice storm or any ice storm before, I consulted Mayor Stoneham for his opinion late on February 10th. He advised that it would be better to let the slush refreeze and be lumpy like gravel for traction rather than to call for plowing and have it be smoothed out, which would then refreeze and leave nothing in the way of traction. I went with his recommendation and we opted not to plow. The morning of the 11th, the road thawed a bit with the rise in temperature and traffic. However, the ice didn't melt enough for any plowing to effectively be done, and anything that melted froze again that evening. So that was when it was really bad. And then on Friday, February 12th, I authorized an application of salt. Mining company somehow didn't have our special salt, magic salt, so Bob, Mayor Stoneham, was able to negotiate with them to get a reduced rate for $3,000 instead of $4,100 for that particular salt treatment. So we had them put some salt down. Between the salt, temperature, and traffic, the ice melted enough for Miner and Company to be able to get the roads plowed later that day. Miner and Company then applied an additional layer of salt to work on any residual ice and as a pretreatment for the upcoming storm on Sunday, February 14th. Then we had the storm last Sunday. So 14th and 15th, we received some snow accumulation. Miner and Company came out and plowed and salted multiple times in order to keep the roads clear and drivable. And then that weather event kind of continued into today. Miner and Company came again like last night at midnight to plow and salt the roads. All of this ice and snow is very expensive to the budget, so I already covered the budget increase, and I'm currently at $36,700, so with next Thursday's weather coming in a couple days, I will probably go over budget.
Okay, thanks.
That's it.
They did not salt last night at midnight.
That's a lot of work, man.
Did you hear what I said?
Yeah, I'll edit that for my...
No, that's okay, that's okay.
Okay.
I mean... You gave it that way. I'm just saying they didn't salt it last night.
Okay.
They didn't. They plowed at 7, they plowed at 10, and they plowed at midnight. And none of them had salt on them.
Okay.
And they did crappy plow jobs on the cul-de-sacs.
Yeah. According to Miner and Company, they plowed 4 times, and they did magic salt, I believe, in the morning.
Right, yeah.
And then they charged me for 2 magic salt treatments. They said they did 2 magic salt treatments yesterday. But I wasn't out. I was at work, so I don't know when they did
that. I can tell you, every truck that I saw, the only truck I saw with salt was the first truck that came down. That's Justin or whatever you said.
Jeremy did not have enough salt on the first run. Okay? So, we need to resolve this. Jeremy can't salt all the streets with one load.
Yeah, he told me that.
Okay.
When I talked to them the one time.
Right, so we shouldn't be getting charged.
He said he would go back and come back.
Right, well, we shouldn't be charged for 2 complete.
That should be one trip. Though.
Right, right.
Okay.
Right. So,
yeah,
if they need to, I don't know where he's getting that we were treated twice, because we weren't treated twice from what he went out and then he came back with his second load.
With his second load, okay. Well, I can rectify that and make sure that that's correct on the bill. That would take us down to like 32,600 then, if that salt treatment is not.
Yeah.
I asked in an email specifically to Miner and Company for them to let me know when their guys were in the city, what times they were there, so I could try to keep track of how many times they came out over the last 2 days and how many salt treatments and how many plow treatments, because I'm at work, I'm in a warehouse without windows,
right. not in Worthington Hills, so I have a hard time.
Right. I understand.
I have a hard time looking after them to make sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing because I'm not physically
right.
out on the roads to check on them. But they did not do that. I got one communication from that Jeremy guy at 7 a.m. that,
right.
that one day that mm-hmm. said, hey, I'm in the city, and then nothing else
right.
since.
Right.
So I had to ask Billy last night how many plows and how many salts they did.
Yeah.
And then the other truck came at midnight, so I'm like, okay. And I called him today, and I said, so you guys did 4 plows and 2 salts? And he's like, yeah. Now, of course, he hasn't slept in a long time, and his billing person is way behind, so it may shake out differently in the billing, but yeah, we will have to definitely keep on top of this next bill and make sure that
we're right.
charged correctly.
Right. Yeah, because I actually talked to Jeremy when he was on my street. I actually ran him down, and I asked him, I says, you missed, I told him you missed Middlesex that morning. He says, yeah, I know. He says, Billy told me. But he says, yeah, I'm back out here finishing up with the streets that I didn't have enough salt for. See, he came down my street when I caught him, and he had some, but he didn't have that much. And then he went the other side. He said he'd got nothing for the other side. So I don't know how much more he put down or if he did a double. I don't really know. All I know is I did remind him about Middlesex.
Yeah. And did you run the streets today? Did you check Halifax and Lunenburg and Middlesex?
Yeah, before
did
I come.
Did you do it? Because Billy wasn't sure when I called him at 5:30 if they had been out yet to fix that.
No, they had. Halifax is really hard to tell because we get so much traffic on it from Coldstream. But there's no salt on it. And this morning at 5:30 when I went through there, it had not been done. Okay? That was the one thing. I could tell when we got up to Lutenberg and Halifax, there's the corner. I knew that they hadn't done it to the Coldstream line, and I knew they hadn't done the short span of the Halifax down to the white fence, because I could tell where they plowed up Halifax and turned on the Lutenberg. Okay? They completely skipped the rest of Halifax down.
Yeah, they went that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's how I knew they didn't do it. And that intersection up there was just a friggin' mess, too. We really need to probably...
I don't know a good way to do it because I'm at work.
Well, the next contractor we get, we've got to get them out here, and they've got to assign somebody. That's what Billy doesn't... Billy does not have an assigned person.
Correct, yeah.
He doesn't have... If he's putting down the salt, he has Jeremy. Okay, and Jeremy knows the streets now real good. I guess he knew we were supposed to miss this first 2 streets, but I think he forgot that the third street is ours. So, again.
I'm not defending those guys, but I used to do this. And by the third day, there's nothing left.
Oh, yeah.
You're just running on empty.
Oh, yeah. I'm well aware of it.
The time.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah, and by law they're only supposed to work 14 hours, I think, is the max they're allowed to work.
Yeah.
So all right, well it's 8:44, and unless there's anything else. What were you gonna talk about the streets?
Real quick, was it the 1st of April when that local area gives the trees away, that local group?
Oh, yeah.
Is it April or May?
It's the first part, it's the last part of April. Right. It's the last weekend in April, I believe.
All right, so I have a wish list for some trees. I have some maples.
Everybody's got maples.
I have a red bud that's ready to go in the ground. No, this is for the green space. I have a couple of maples, a red bud, and I may have one ash, but it won't make it if it is an ash. I can't decide if it's an ash or not yet. They're all volunteers. So all of them are about this tall, my red buds.
Where are they?
In my basement right now. They're green pelican outside.
Okay.
But anyway, so I'd like three or four of us to go up at the same time if we can, because I want to get some other trees to plant out there.
Are you talking about at the drive-through?
Yeah. So just keep that in your minds, because we may take a trip as a group or two groups.
I mean, we may need some for East Bay, too, to replace a couple trees.
So it's a nice
good idea.
I think they give you up to three.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Anything else? If not, I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I make a motion to do that.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Muffin. All right, it's 8:45.